The video presentation will be presented simultaneously by the internet and the webcast, and the recording will be available in the IR website of the company at the address IR. The slides that are being used are available in the site of the company and also in the CVM site. Before going forward, I would like to mention that any declarations that may be done during this conference relative to the perspectives of business are provisions based on the current expectations of management. These expectations are subject to changes due to macroeconomic situations and other factors. The future considerations are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and premises, as they refer to future events and depend on circumstances which may or may not occur. General economic conditions, industry considerations, and other factors may affect the results of the company and bring to results that are materially different than those expressed in these future considerations. With us today is Dr. Bernardo Lustosa, Eduardo Mónica, Director, President, and CEO, and Alexandre Mafra, Financial Director, and Hernán Kemoto, Director of Investor Relations. To begin, Dr. Lustosa will talk about the perspectives of Clarissa, and Mónica will speak about the strategic and operational period in the period. After that, Mafra will talk about the financial situation of Clarissa, and after that, all will be available together with Hina to answer any questions which may be sent to them. I would like to pass it over to Dr. Bernardo. Please go ahead. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to open once again the ClearCell results. This time it's a little different because I'm announcing here the transition announced in November of 2022, where I leave the position of CEO of the company and pass it over to Eduardo Mónica, who assumes starting today and is who will talk about the results today. And I would like to say that I will do this transition with a total comfort and tranquility, with the feeling of duty fulfilled, as I closed in the recent call of 2022 with the results of the balancing plan, with the extreme gratefulness, not only for the cycle of CEO, which is now closing at ClearCell, but it's a cycle of life initiated in 2008, formally, which I would like to talk to you a little bit about. It's a story that starts in 2018 with the creation of the first algorithms of artificial intelligence for the fraud prevention of ClearCell, which I did personally. And this is the network effect, which will bring ClearCell to what it is today, a data company, which has the biggest data lake and the most intelligence for prevention of fraud and risks in Brazil. And in this journey, we created a culture, a very strong culture, with the conference of belief in our employees. And now I'm passing that forward. In 2018, when I took over as CEO of ClearCell, I focused on the professionalization of the company, the professionalization of the commercial area, the maintenance of the culture which I have described, and the fixing products and architecture of fraud and open innovation, which today I will explore, which has Crytek, cybersecurity, etc. This part is a desire of a society. We made a movement of bringing governance to the company through the process of opening our capital in the B3, which we completed in July of 2021. I focused on the construction of governance with the team, as well as in the planning session of the company, the construction of a C-level, which I believe has the unequal excellence in the market, and this, which we complete today, the succession when I pass the CEO job to Eduardo Mónica. So since November, when we announced the transition to the market, I have focused more on the strategic part of the company, revisiting the existing business units and also looking at the business unit of new ventures. We build products which will bring the company to new levels, higher levels, and in the succession with the support of the executive area as well as Eduardo, so that we have done, as is being done, a tranquil transition. So now it's with a great tranquility and happiness that I pass the job of CEO to Eduardo Mónaco, who has already run the company together with the Mafra of and now takes over as CEO, and I desire for Eduardo to have all of the luck in the world. I know his competence, which will be fundamental for management, which is more and more professional for ClearCell. I have total confidence that it will be corresponded, which we have deposited in him for the next years of the company. And so now, without anything else, who's going to present the results of the company is going to speak about the first quarter of this year. First of all, good morning. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. I want to start by thanking Bernardo for all that he's taught me and supported me during this trajectory of almost 4 years in ClearCell. And also thank him for all the company and support of our board of directors and also all of our executive team. And I hope that I'll be able to maintain this legacy which Bernardo is giving us and keep ClearCell as a reference for risk in the digital world. Let's start the presentation today, looking at the highlights and looking at the highlights of this new business unit, which we have just started since the beginning of this year. It maintains an area of support, a transversal in each one of its specialties, providing all of our services and all of our expertise. We start off by pointing out the business units of global e-commerce. First of all, our investment in componentization has been reflected more and more in new sales. And we see this clearly in the numbers of this quarter, where approximately one quarter of our new sales are already present in the by offerings with a discourse which is much closer to this segment. This has all helped us since the planning process, where we did a focus on the on our go-to-market and our digital segments, such as tickets, 3X, Prism, and where we see the results beginning to appear. And also looking at the our commercial process. We also have also done several studies of how our products are inherent to the financial segment, the issuers especially. We have seen an opportunity, a very big opportunity in our information and issuers in the transitional process. We've also seen in this pillar a focus, very strong focus. I just got back from Mexico and our international structure, seeking all the synergies and expertise of this new organization. Our current focus has been on the profit, on making it profitable, monetization, and ending the cash burning. It's an intense process that we've done in the short term. It is painful, and we see this in the results of this year. So now I want to pass the next transversal, which has made a great deal of improvements, our risk control in this quarter. So we also see that one of these strategic pillars of dominance in data, so that we optimize the use of our data in all of the business fronts. Our possible business front, as you know, is the company which knows best the business structure and the focus of using all of our data for all of our components and solutions, obtaining the best possible results. Beyond that, this pillar also brings what we call to be able to obtain more data in this environment. An example of this, making a link with other business units of our application fraud unit, we have just developed it. We are in the market with a new version of our credit score, our digital credit score, which uses the power of our data lake to show how we can include more consumers in this credit environment. We had an important improvement in our clients which we call here KS, where we have been able to have a great number of cases where we have evolved significantly our results, which we generate for our clients. Beyond that, we continue our work in improving our components, not only technically in data generation, but also how we reach this market, each one of its pain points and opportunities. Two examples I wanted to show you are significant evolutions that we've done in our process of false user frauds, and also the validation of our credit card validation registered in a store, making sure that the person who has that card is the correct person and not a stolen card within a process of data leaks. Beyond that, we're also strengthening our go-to-market strategy in our business unit. We have simplified our portfolio using a language that's more adherent to the market and seeking solutions that continue to generate value. The structural changes and organizational changes have been made to seek more agility, and it's been more and more communication between our engineering area and our back tests, which do all the strength of our data. And finally, I want to look at our new ventures business unit, the most recent unit, which I want to mention to you. We've done a lot of constant search, looking for synergies with Beta, which is a company which we acquired about 2 years ago. We've structured a consultancy team commanded by our clients to help them in their challenges of risk management and implementation of systems. We structured this business unit to offer services to our clients. We also strengthened and officialized our thesis of future growth. Beyond the credit, which I mentioned here, organizational fraud, we have two new theses. One is embedded finance with a focus on PIX, especially in transactional PIX and PIX in payments, and also the digital real or ID, digital ID, done together with other companies. Beyond that, our thesis, which is known as cybersecurity, continues to grow and gain strength through our component of brand monitoring and data loss. Other transversals that we have in this environment continue to gain traction. Growth, our commercial strategy of marketing continues to benefit from this benefit of transversal vision, and our key accounts, which more and more have been able to understand deeply the needs of our clients and offer to them products from our two business units. And finally, the corporate side, we continue to capture synergies and efficiencies of our company. One of the events I want to mention is an improvement the quality of our information, as well as the implementation of SAP in the international market. Yeah. The results of this market, we'll look at the financial results, and then I'll look at all the results of our. This quarter, we reached growth of 18.2% in relation to the same period of last year, even looking at a very challenging scenario in e-commerce and in the economy overall. We also reached the growth of new revenue of 34.4%, arriving at 37.1 million reais, looking at this derivative of our component strategy. Beyond that, this revenue was helped by a good control on our indicators of fraud. We've also been able to reach an improvement in the EBITDA of 37 million reais in relation to the same period last year. And even with a week period, we reached a positive EBITDA in Brazil. In the international scenario, in this quarter, as I mentioned previously, we had a reflection of our strategy of balancing for that market. Beyond that, it's important to mention that our generation of cash of 25.8 million, generation of operating cash, and a cash position quite healthy. So I want to ask Alexandre Mafra to share the details of our results. Thank you, Monico, and thank you for your presence. I'm happy to do results of this quarter. I would like to thank Bernardo for his confidence and all of his knowledge shared with us during this year that I'm with ClearSale. Talking about revenue in slide 7, I have a consolidated vision of the first quarter of 23 with growth on the revenue of 18.2%, even bigger than that was observed in the previous quarter. This growth comes enforced by e-commerce Brazil, which grew 26.6% compared to the same period of the previous year. In this quarter, we continue with a strong control of our levels of chargeback, and we had a benefit of 143 new clients and 6.6 million in ARR of new sales. In application fraud, we observed a growth of 3.1% in the year. We are observing the impact of rolling over of contracts, and we had certain concentration of churn. In e-commerce international, we've had a strong acceleration of growth in revenue of 35.4% in reais and 36.2% in dollars, really due to a addition of 46 clients, even with churn. Looking at slide 8, operational indicators, I now present our operational indicators, which started the year with solid performance. Our ARR of new sales, 37.1 million AIs in the first quarter of 23, 36.4% above the first quarter of last year. Here I would point out the sale of e-commerce Brazil, more than one-fourth of which comes from digital services principal tickets, which is directly related to our componentization. In clients, we had a growth of 210 clients in the quarter. Closing the year with a quarter with 7,785 clients. As far as the annualized churn in the first quarter, we can perceive that we had an increase in relation to 23, 1.8%, reaching 3.2%. So it's worth mentioning that part of this increase directly related to the concentration of churn in three clients in the application fraud front. One of them due to discontinuation of the business. Secondly, it's important to mention that the effect of annualization of the churn presupposes that we would have three more quarters the same as the first quarter in the magnitude and the size of our churn, which is very improbable. In other words, we expect that this churn will be diluted over the course of the year. Going to slide 9, operational costs. I would like to remind you that our initial tendency for 2022, in the fourth quarter of 22, we had the seasonal effect of Black Friday and Christmas. In the first quarter of 23, our operating costs reached 79.6 million due to the impact of salary negotiations. We also have in this quarter a provision of 4.1 million for bonuses and PRL, which we did not have in 22. We see annual growth with growth of 9.7% in recurring costs and a fall of 14.3% in recurring costs, according to excluding the PLR. Beyond that, we see a strong job of increasing disclosure of information to the market, bringing that principal lines that make up their costs. We can also observe that the fall in our costs is really due to the fall of 18.9% in the cost of suppliers and 20.4% of the cost of labor. These reductions are the consequence of an intense work in the balancing plan, which started in April of 2022. It's worth mentioning that we had a reclassification of telephone costs of 3.2 million. Considering this classification, all of suppliers would be even higher at 31.6%. The suppliers and labor costs are partially compensated by the increase of 35% in other costs that reflect the process of turnaround international mentioned previously. E-commerce, especially e-commerce, we have focused on a portfolio of profitable clients, while the non-profitable clients by the level of fraud this quarter, but brings a more sustainable business in the medium to long term. Going to slide 10. Sales, selling expenses, SG&A. With this cost, we have the mentioned reduction of costs during 2022 with the seasonal cost of commercial bonuses and the provision of credits of 5.6 million for national e-commerce. in the first quarter of 23, our recurring expenses fell back 57.6 million reais due to the bonus and payroll of 2.3 million. We also compare our growth in revenue of 18.2% with a reduction in expenses, recurring expenses of 13.7%, or a fall of 17.1% when we don't consider the PLR. In expenses, we also improved our disclosure, showing the expenses of sales, administrative expenses, and PPD, and other administrative expenses, which were reduced by 37.3% during the year. Line others was benefited by the reclassification, accounting reclassification. Excluding this reclassification, we had a slight increase of one. Going to slide 11, we've looked at the vision of gross profit. After all, we said we had a gross margin of 42.7% in Brazil, less negative 2.5% internationally, and 36.1% in the consolidated in the first quarter of 23. Point out what would be our margin provision for PLR, which did not happen in 2022 for comparative effect. Our digital margin in Brazil, even though we had poor seasonality in the first quarter, was positive, 1.2% above the second quarter of 2022. Excluding the provision PLR, the digital margin would be 7.1%. Internationally, we see a tendency for the negative effect on the margin EBITDA due to the processes that are in effect previously. Slide 12. First thing I'd like to mention is the possibility of the generation of cash in the first quarter, which was 25.8 million reais. Principally, the flow originated from the fourth quarter. We had 8.8% in amortization of debt, 3.7 million investments in the new office, and capex of 25.6 million reais for the quarter. Here we also improved our transparency, demonstrating that 21.7 million were destined for the development of new solutions, which is our PED, our research and development, and 1.8 million for licensing software, and 2.1 million of earnout of acquisitions, among others. In this way, we closed our cash and the 31st of March of 467 million. For 2023, we'll continue with discipline and seeking the maintenance of cash generation, operational cash generation. I would now like to call Monaco for his final consideration. Thank you. Thank you, Mafra. Before going into the question and answers, I wanted to bring a few highlights to finalize our presentation. First, I wanted to point out the process of transition of management, which is now showing our more and more global structure, our reorganization of by business units, which brings perceivable benefits already for the market and for our solution. Third, again, I wanted to thank Bernardo for his generous and process of transition. I want to point out the annual growth in a challenging scenario. Our profitability continues on track, as we have done and shown over the last recent quarters. And we are more and more see the challenges that we see in the way of results in the international market. Beyond that, I want to mention our cash position, healthy cash position, and generation of operational cash of 25.8 million in this quarter. With that, I close the presentation. We're available for any questions and answers you might have. Thank you, people, for the presentation. So now, as Monaco mentioned, we're beginning the question and answer session for investors and analysts. As always, there's a button on the left-hand side of your screen. Ask you send all of your questions in that button. Available for questions are Eduardo Monaco, Afra, AK Colto. I have some questions here already. Let me open them. And you please feel free to send any more questions you might have while we answer these. First, Eduardo Sirazi. I also ask you forgiveness if I didn't pronounce your name correctly, from Santander. How is the development of new products? What are your perspectives for go-to-market? Hi, everybody. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the question. It's a very relevant question in the moment in which we find ourselves through the various factors. First of all, over the recent years, as we've said, a process was very important in the history of ClearCell, transforming this into a technological component platform, so that with these new components of data, or technology, we'll be able to address more and more different markets and new markets. When we look at this quarter and new sales, we see results that are very interesting in this process. We're able to bring a 1/4 of our sales in e-commerce, in the business unit of international e-commerce, aligned with our go-to-market strategy, looking at relevant segments where we did not have governance, not a dominance, but showing our power of being able to find a good fit with relevant markets, relevant products. So we all start talking about tickets for delivery and three major segments in which we have entered, and all in digital goods. Beyond that, we have developed the relevant development in application fraud, where we start to develop more and more components and bundles relevant, such as false identity fraud, credit card fraud when it is embedded in a wallet, and also our business unit of new ventures, where we have developed more and more and grown more and more other options, especially credit products, cybersecurity products, and monitoring, brand monitoring products, as well as products connected to what we call embedded finance, which has a lot to do with fraud, fixed payments, and other large disruptions that are happening in the payments market. So the relation of product continues, the market is increasing, and we're more and more prepared to package this and sell this in our current go-to-market as it plans at the beginning of the year. It's been a very important trajectory, and collaborating with the results this year, this year is very challenging. We've seen not only in the results of e-commerce, but also in the general results and how much the macro scenario has affected our year. So for us, it's very important to look at the expectation of growth in the base, which is very, very conservative. Thank you very much. We have another question from Flavio. Bank of America has three questions in one. When should we see the benefits of the turnaround process? When will the EBITDA break to break even? And is there any expectation for growth in revenue for the year? Okay, let's start. Let's go from back to front. Expectation of revenue, I want to jump on this to take a hook of what Monica just said. I think that we're very happy with the advances that we are having in annual sales, especially in the penetration of new products recently developed in our company. This part of the new sales is going very well and is within our expectations. On the other hand, we've accompanied very closely the results of the principal e-commerce platforms in Brazil and companies of clothes, which have digital clothes, digital sales for. We have no expectation of revenue from that base, that the revenue from that base will come in a positive way. So I think having said that, the company over the balancing project last year, recovery process last year, and during this first quarter, and looking forward, the company is much more prepared to, if necessary, be more time below the water level. So we have a positive expectation of new sales, but we have no expectation, no positive expectation when we look at the base revenue, especially in the short term. On the other hand, these focuses are maintained. We have tranquility that if necessary, we have time to say more time underwater if necessary. What were the other? Would you like me to repeat the other question? Yes, please repeat the other two questions. When will we see the benefits of the turnaround process? And when will the come to break even and expectation of growth in revenue for the year? When we talk about international, it's a subject which is very relevant for us. We've looked at this very seriously, this year, and it begins with our restructuring of the company by business unit, and again, at a global level. Previously, we had a separate business unit in Brazil. We unified these two operations, and we already captured, during this first quarter, important results in synergies, both administratively, financially, and even management synergies, such as a greater the risk management team international in Brazil, and all of the expertise. Uniting our forces in this process of growth. Many partners, clients, suppliers, a very important market, very large. We need to adjust our sales as we've done successfully in Brazil. Synergy, as well as an important control of gross margins, so that we optimize our results, chargeback costs, and other variable costs in the operation. This work is being done, and we had our first quarter, which was very difficult due to several, as we outsourced the basic clients, certain groups where we had to do strong negotiations, and the removal of clients from our portfolio. The result came in this quarter. We also see that in the next quarter is a projection of results, more efficient results, when we talk about from the standpoint of gross margin. So I think that we're in this scenario that during the year we will have results. And the cash burn internationally. You want to send any questions? Eduardo, Monica, and Mafra and are available to answer any questions you might have. So you can add more questions while we think. If you have any more, if you have any other questions, please feel free. We're not receiving any more questions. I'm going to pass the word over to our for the final considerations, and then we'll come back for the final closing. Thank you, Felipe. Thank you all who have joined us in this conference. I want to, in my final comments, thanking once again Bernardo and the other members of the Council of ClearCell, our board, our ClearCell team, and all of the investors in your confidence in our process of management. And we're looking very comfortably during many years of understanding and knowledge of ClearCell. And so that here we complete this process now. We're very happy with my new job, and I see this new challenge. We had a year that was very challenging for everyone. And on the other hand, we are due to all that we have produced last year. We have a company much more prepared. The challenges. With the growth in revenue, a significant growth in revenue and a control in our cash burn, which is very expressive. And what we've done, as well as the result of new sales and technology improvements. Well, thank you all very much, and we'll see you in 3 months once again. Thank you all very much. Thank you all. Have a great week. Thank you all. With that, we close here our video conference. We thank you for the participation. Have a good day, and until the next time.